Well, good morning. You've picked a great day to be here as we celebrate Life Change Sunday, seeing people take the next step in their faith journey and follow Jesus and believers' baptism. And so far this morning, we've had the privilege of seeing 15 people follow Jesus and baptism. And man, we're praying and believing that God's not done working and moving, and that we will see people from service today follow Jesus in baptism as well. So there are two groups that I really want to speak to this morning. I want to be just super upfront and clear about the goal of today's service. The first group is those of you, you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, but you've never followed him in believers' baptism. You've never participated in what you saw this morning. And my goal today is try to convince you and persuade you to get baptized, that you would not leave here today without taking that step and getting baptized. And the second group is those of you who have never come to a place or a point in your life where you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation. And my hope, my prayer, is that today would be the day where you finally choose to trust Jesus. And for those of you who trust in Jesus and who have already been baptized, and you're wondering how today's message is going to apply to you, I would just ask that you would spend the next 20 minutes or so praying that God would move, that God would save people, that God would lead people towards this step of obedience, and that you would be excited about the fact that you get to see and witness people follow Jesus in salvation and in baptism, because it is a really big deal. Like, this is what it's all about. And so this morning, the question that I want to answer for us is this: what is believer's baptism? Like, what exactly is this baptism thing that we've witnessed and that we've celebrated this morning? What is believer's baptism? And there are two aspects of baptism that I want to talk about. The first one is this, if you're taking notes, is that baptism, it is an outward expression of an inward reality. An outward expression of an inward reality. Another way of saying it is a physical expression of a spiritual reality. It is a symbol and a picture of what takes place in somebody's heart and somebody's life when they place their faith and trust in Jesus. And the Apostle Paul writes about this very idea in Romans chapter 6. He says this. He says, "Or don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." You know, when I was in a seminary and was studying to become a pastor, I had to write a 30-page paper on just these two verses of Scripture. It was by far the most time-consuming and difficult assignment that I had during seminary, but I want to summarize about 40 hours worth of research into about 5 minutes of content here. When we place our faith and our trust in Jesus, the Bible tells us that we are united with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Notice again what Paul says. He says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" When we trust in Jesus, we are united with him in his death, meaning that the death of Jesus becomes our death. We die to our sin. We die to our old way of living. Now, this does not mean that the moment we trust in Jesus for our salvation, that we become perfect or that we become sinless. That won't happen until Jesus returns one day and we receive our resurrected, glorified bodies. But it does mean that at the moment you trust in Jesus for your salvation, the power of sin is broken in your life. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer bound by the power of sin. And so when you are placed under the water in baptism, like we saw, it is a picture of us being united with Jesus in his death. But then Paul says that we are also buried with Christ through baptism. And burial confirms the reality of death. When you bury somebody, it communicates that death has taken place. And so when we are buried with Christ in his death, it communicates the end of our old life. a life that was ruled by sin, a life that was ruled by our flesh, and it marks the beginning of a brand new life where we are now ruled not by our sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God who lives within us. So we are buried with Christ in his death. And why is that? Paul says that in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. You see, the moment that you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you are not just united to Jesus in his death and burial. You are united to Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. And scripture says that you become alive. You become spiritually alive. The Bible talks about you don't simply become a better version of yourself, an upgraded version. You become a brand new creation. You are brought to life. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and our sins. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. In 2 Corinthians, he says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has been united with him, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Death, burial, and resurrection. That is what happens at the moment of your salvation in Jesus. And baptism is a physical representation of that spiritual reality. It's not what saves us. It's not what gets us to heaven. It's not what makes us right with God, but it is a picture that communicates to the world what has happened in our life. We are buried under the water. Our old life is gone. And we are raised up out of the water to walk in this new life that Jesus has secured for us. Baptism is an outward expression, an outward picture of a spiritual and inward reality in our life. But the second aspect of believers' baptism is this, is that baptism, it is a matter of obedience to Jesus and to Scripture. You know, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he gathered his disciples and followers together to give them kind of his final instructions, his final marching orders for them before he left. And we tend to put a lot of weight and a lot of emphasis on somebody's first words. Like if you're a parent, you probably remember the first words that your child spoke. For our daughter, Monroe, her first word was stop. Because that's what she heard Brooke yelling at her dog all the time as he was getting up in their business. We remember people's first words, but people's final words carry a lot of weight and a lot of significance. And here we have recorded for us the final words that Jesus spoke to his followers. These are a big deal. These should carry a lot of weight with us. And in Matthew chapter 28, it says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, these verses are often referred to as the Great Commission. And the primary command from Jesus here in the Great Commission is to make disciples, to make disciples. And how do we do that? How do we go and make disciples? Jesus tells us, he says, we make disciples by going, we're sent out, by teaching people and instructing people on how to obey the commands of Jesus, and by baptizing them. Baptism is a significant step in the disciple-making process. And I want you to notice here, this passage is not referred to as the great suggestion. Like Jesus didn't say, hey, if you have time for this, or if you're interested in this, I would love for you to consider this. No, no, no. It is the Great Commission. This is the final command that Jesus gave to his followers, meaning that this is not optional for us. This is what we have been commanded to do as followers of Jesus. Which means that baptism, believer's baptism, as we've seen today, it is a matter of obedience to Jesus and a matter of obedience to God's word. So if we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus for our salvation, if we've been united with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, but we have not yet followed Jesus in believer's baptism, then we are living in disobedience. We are out of step with God's will and God's desire for our life. And here's why that matters. Here's why that's a big deal. Because when we are living in disobedience, when we are ignoring one of God's commands, it puts a strain on our relationship with God. It doesn't undo our salvation. It doesn't mean that we're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean that God loves us less. But there's almost this ceiling that we start to bump up into in our spiritual life. And there are areas of our spiritual life that we can't grow in, that we can't make progress in, because we're being disobedient in this other key area. And we end up being robbed of the joy and the blessing that comes from our obedience as we follow Jesus in baptism. So baptism, it's not a matter of salvation. It's not a matter of going to heaven, but it is a matter of obedience. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, obey what I have commanded. Baptism, it's an outward expression of an inward reality. And it is a matter of obedience to Jesus and to Scripture. And so for the next few minutes, let me address some common concerns or objections that I'll hear to people that's keeping them from oftentimes getting baptized. The most common one that I hear as a pastor is this, is that, you know, I was baptized as an infant. Or my parents had me baptized as a baby. Do I really need to get baptized again? Is it really that important? And kind of the short, simple answer is yes. Because believer's baptism is different from infant baptism. Infant baptism is an expression of your parents' hope and your parents' desire that one day you would know Jesus and you would follow him. And here at our church, the way we do that is through a child dedication. If you've seen one of our child dedication services before, parents will get up here on stage and they'll present their kids before the Lord and before the church, and they'll make the commitment that they're going to raise their kids to know Jesus and to follow Jesus, and they're presenting them to the church. They're presenting them to the Lord. And we have our next child dedication coming up in a few weeks on October 12th. My wife and I will be participating in that with our new baby that's coming soon, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. But believer's baptism, what we see in the New Testament, it is an expression not of your parents' faith and belief. It is an expression of your own personal faith and belief. It's a public profession declaring that you are following Jesus. And so if you were baptized as an infant, it does not discredit that. It does not undo that. It does not cancel that. If anything, it's really a fulfillment of your baptism as an infant, because here you are now as a child, as a student, as an adult, making your own personal decision to follow Jesus. You know, anytime that we see somebody getting baptized in the New Testament, there are two things that are always true. First, it always follows a profession of faith in Jesus. People are always baptized after they have trusted in Jesus, which means that you have to be at the age where you are making a personal, conscious decision to believe and trust in Jesus. And that's why we don't see any babies or infants being baptized in the New Testament. And baptism in the New Testament is always done by immersion. People are dunked under the water and brought back up, symbolizing their spiritual death, burial, and resurrection. And so if you were baptized as an infant, as a baby, and since then you have come to know Jesus and to trust him and to follow him, then you still need to take that step of following Jesus in believer's baptism. Another common concern I'll hear is this, is, man, I'm afraid to get baptized in front of other people. I'm really nervous. I'm really afraid to get up there on stage and the lights in front of a couple hundred people. I'm afraid to do it. You know, for the earliest followers of Jesus, getting baptized was a public declaration that Jesus is Lord and that Caesar is not Lord. And so when you got baptized in the early church, there were significant consequences and ramifications for it. You could very well lose your life because of your public profession through baptism. Now, fortunately, if you get baptized here today, it's not going to put your life at risk. Like, there aren't real consequences for getting baptized today. And so I think we've lost a lot of what made baptism so important and so significant in the early church. So if you are nervous or afraid to get baptized, I would say that it's actually a good thing because it means that it's going to cost you something. Like there's going to be a sacrifice involved in it. It's going to be hard for you. And we make sacrifices for what we love and value most. And Jesus is worth taking a step of faith, taking a step of courage, even if you're fearful, even if you're anxious. Jesus is worth your obedience, even if it may be hard for you. Another concern I'll hear is this, is I need to get my life together first. Like, I know I need to get baptized in the future. I know it's the right thing to do. I plan on doing it one day, but I need to clean up my life first. I've got some issues I need to work through. I've got some habits and addictions I need to break. I need to get my life back on track before I can go public with my faith. Listen, none of us are ever fully ready to follow and obey Jesus. In fact, our entire belief system as Christians is based on the idea of grace, that we are unworthy, that we don't deserve it, but God graciously gives us what we don't deserve. And so you don't have to have things all figured out to get baptized. You don't have to clean your life up first. You don't need to try to fix yourself. The only prerequisite for baptism is salvation. Have you trusted in Jesus for your salvation? Have you trusted in him to forgive you of your sins? And if so, if you've trusted in him, then you are the perfect candidate for baptism. And baptism is the first step of obedience after trusting in Jesus. And finally, number four, I'm afraid of what other people will think. I'm afraid of what people are going to think. You know, I've been coming to this church for a long time, and I serve on Sunday mornings, and I'm in a life group, and I think everyone just assumes that I've already been baptized. What will they think? What will they say if I get baptized today? First of all, I'll say this. Man, who cares? Like, your goal is to honor the Lord. Your goal is to obey the Lord, not man. But second, everyone here will be pumped for you. They will celebrate with you. They will encourage you. They will be excited for you as you take that step of faith and that step of obedience. Don't let other people's thoughts or opinions keep you from being obedient to the Lord. And so here's the application for today's message. You know, some of you showed up today and you had no intention of getting baptized. It was not your plan. It was not on your radar. And today, God is trying to get your attention. God is speaking to you right now. God is tugging on your heart. Maybe you made the decision to trust in Jesus years ago as a kid or as a student. Maybe you've made that decision fairly recently in the last few months or in the past year as an adult. You have trusted in Jesus, but you have never followed him in baptism. Listen, baptism is your next step. And here's the good news. We are ready for you to get baptized today. We are removing every barrier, every obstacle that would keep you from doing that. You may say, hey, you know, I'm not ready. I don't have a change of clothes. How am I supposed to do that? We've got you covered. We've got clothes. We've got towels. We have everything you need to get baptized today. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to sing some songs and worship together. And if today you need to finally make that decision to follow Jesus in baptism, to be obedient to what Scripture has commanded you. During those songs, I want to encourage you to get up out of your seat, to grab a friend or a family member by the hand if you need to head out into the lobby, and we have a team of people who are ready there to receive you, to encourage you, to pray with you, and to help you take that step of faith and obedience today. Baptism is not what saves you. Baptism is not what gets you to heaven, but it is what God has called us to do, to profess to the world that we are a follower of Jesus. But see, there's some of you here today, and you've never made a personal decision to follow Jesus. You've never called on God to save you and to rescue you from your sins. You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've just seen a lot of evil and a lot of brokenness in our world. From multiple school shootings, to Charlie Kirk getting murdered, to that young Ukrainian girl who was stabbed on the train. Like, these images have been visible to us on social media, on the news. Like, we've seen evil and brokenness on full display. There is no doubt or question that there is evil in this world. But the truth is, there's not just evil and brokenness out there. There is brokenness within each and every one of us. The Bible is clear that all of us, we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. We have all turned away from God. We have all disobeyed him. And the consequence for our sin, for our rebellion, is eternal separation from God, where we will be under the judgment of God for eternity. And there's nothing that you and I can do in our own power and our own strength and our own goodness and our own success to bridge this gap that exists between us and God because of our sin. But God so loved the world. God so loved you that he sent his son Jesus to step into our mess and into our brokenness. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I were unable to live. Jesus died on the cross, taking on the judgment and the punishment that we deserve because of our sin. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating sin, defeating death, and made a way, made a path for you to be made right with God, for you to be given, for you to be rescued, for you to receive God's free gift of everlasting life. And this is not something that you now need to earn from God or prove to God or purchase from God or work towards. The Bible says that we receive this free gift of salvation by placing our faith and our trust in Jesus and what Jesus has done and accomplished on our behalf. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. They will be rescued. And that free gift of salvation is available to each and every one of us today, simply by placing our faith and our trust in Jesus for our salvation. And so with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I'm gonna pray for us and then give you an opportunity to respond however the Lord is leading you this morning. And so, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection from the dead. And, Lord, we thank you that we can be united with him, that his death can become our death, that his life can become our life. And Lord, we thank you for just the picture of baptism that we've got to witness over and over and over today. People declaring that they have trusted in you, that they have been made new, that they've been transformed. And Lord, I know there are people in this room who still need to take that step. Lord, you're doing a work in their heart right now. Lord, I pray that you would convict them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would respond in faith to you. Lord, that they would respond in obedience to you if they need to get baptized. And that they would stop delaying. They would stop waiting. Today would be the day that they go all in and truly follow you. And so, Jesus, it's in your name that we pray these things and that we ask.